right. Well, good morning, everyone. All right. Today, we're going to be in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. And this is probably my favorite passage of all of Scripture. I think I commented on that a couple weeks ago, telling you all that this is one of my favorite passages, and I'm really happy to preach on it. By the way, my name is Drew. I'm one of the pastors here at Mosaic. Just thank you for being with us today for the first Sunday of the new year. We're glad you're here worshiping with us. And some of you might be a little confused of why we're still talking about Advent and the Christmas season. Some of you who came from a more liturgical church background, you're probably familiar with the idea of Christmastide, that 12 days of Christmas, and we're in that season right now, so it still works, so get off my back about it. And but we're going to talk about Christmas in one sense, but Advent in a broader sense, the fact that we're living in a second Advent period. An author and lay theologian, George MacDonald, talks about Christmas Day as the one day that blesses all the year, because at the heart of Christmas is a message of a coming kingdom that brings us tidings of comfort and joy. Does that sound familiar? Tidings of comfort and joy. That's what we look forward to in the second coming of Christ. It's the reality that we live in right now in this second Advent period where we're anticipating His coming, not as a baby, but as a reigning, ruling king over all the universe, where He will bring in the culmination, the full picture of His kingdom of comfort and joy. So what we're going to be looking at this morning, again, is one of my favorite passages, Revelation 21, verses 1 through 6. And it's the coronation, really, of this kingdom of the already and not yet that we're waiting on. It's this long-expected return of Jesus where He will come again to make all things new. And so with that in mind, we're going to read Revelation 21, 1 through 6 here this morning. And John records here, he says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And He who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also He said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment.'" Let's pray. Father God, we thank You this morning. We thank You for bringing us into a new year and the promises and the expectations and the hopes we have for 2022. But God, I pray that as we get into this message, we'll see that the anticipation and hope that we have now is the second coming of You, when You're coming to make all things new and bringing in this kingdom of comfort and joy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So how many of us, and you don't have to raise your hand to embarrass yourself here, but I'm going to raise my hand. How many of us have started a New Year's resolution only to fail probably like 2 weeks in? Right? All right, so we have like three honest people. Okay, cool. All right. How many of you, okay, keep in mind, we're on the second day of 2022. How many of you have already eaten that donut, or got angry at your kids on the way to church this morning, or broke whatever resolution that you've made, and we're only 2 days in? Okay? Okay, Charles, again, is the only person that's honest in here this morning. All right? All right, so for the reality of it, and what we need to understand about a new year is that nothing actually magical happened on January 1st. When the ball dropped and the clock struck midnight and people were ringing in 2022 with gunshots and pans and fireworks and all that stuff, there was nothing magical that happened. You can actually start, you know, a new year, theoretically, anytime you want, right? But there's something that is, I think, enchanting for us about the idea of a new year. It's a new start, a fresh perspective, a way to start a new eating regimen or exercise plan, or maybe you're trying to get some habit out of your life, or whatever it is for you, you're trying to do these things. You know, for many of us, we commit to reading our Bibles, and then in February, when we get to Leviticus, we've given up completely. You know, maybe for the new year, you think of the motivation you need to be more thankful or to journal, to read more books, or stop procrastinating on that project that you put off in 2022 that was on that resolution from 2019. Whatever it is, all of us have been there. I've definitely been there probably more often than I care to admit. There are some goals that I've written down for 2022 already that are just regurgitations of goals that I had for the last couple of years because I just didn't get to those things. But resolutions in our lives are absolutely meaningless unless we're resolved to do them, right? That's actually the root of this word resolution. We have to be resolved to do these things. We always want to do the new thing, even if it's just something we didn't get to do last year. We always want the new thing. And no doubt some of your kids in here got that shiny new electronic for Christmas, or maybe some of you adults did that same thing. Maybe you got a new Nintendo Switch OLED or a PS5 or some Apple AirPods or a new TV or something cool. Some of these things are already broken and haven't gotten their full use out of them yet. For others of us, there's books and new clothes and just some gift cards to go out and get what you really wanted for Christmas. Regardless of it, we all crave something new. Our eyes sparkle at the mere thought of getting something that is new. And that's why New Year's is appealing to us, because it's something that is new. It's a new chance, a new start, and a new beginning for us to make things new in our lives. But as believers, we need to realize that sometimes the old things are a lot like the new things in our lives. And that should be reassuring for us in some ways. In a lot of ways, 2022 is going to be exactly like 2021 was. And 2021, in many ways, was exactly like 2020. And 2020 was a year that is completely different than anything else we've ever experienced before. But in a lot of ways, it was a lot like 2019. And so on, and so on, and so on into history past. And this should be reassuring to us again, because it points to the fact that our God is unchanging and unwavering. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the gospel, the very good news that God sent his son, Jesus, to be a ransom for his people, is that truth never fails and never changes. These old truths and realities point to the future reality that is to come in the new creation. Because even the gospel itself, and please let me finish what I'm going to say in this before you burn me at the stake. The gospel itself isn't the final word. Even the gospel points to a future reality. And that's why we live in this period of the already, not yet. We're waiting for the full culmination of time and the culmination of salvation that has fully yet to take place. These old things are like the new things to come. The entirety of the Old Testament points to future realities and shadows that point to the coming of Christ. And just as on that day when he came the first time around, when he comes the second time around, the darkness will be fractured by his return. Robert Louis Stevenson, the author of Treasure Island, lived in Scotland for a period of time in the 19th century, and he talked about it this way. He recounted, as a boy, his family lived on a hillside overlooking a small town. And he was intrigued by the works of the lamplighters who would go out with a ladder and a torch, lighting the streetlights for the night. And one evening, as he stood watching with fascination, his nanny came in and asked him, "Robert, what in the world are you looking at out there?" It was with great excitement that he exclaimed to her, "Look at that man. He's puncturing holes in the darkness." And this childlike understanding, in the same way we look at and realize that God is puncturing holes in the darkness, bringing his marvelous light. He did that with his first coming, and just in the same way, he will do that in his second coming, when the New Testament will eventually itself be shadows and memories of a future we're told is coming but have yet to see. It's because of that that hope and joy should spring up within us at the sound of the words that John records from Christ here in saying, "Behold, I make all things new." And it's fitting then that in the old, worn out things, including our hopes and dreams, should be laid aside for better joys that will eventually fill their place. That new thing you got for Christmas this time next year, something else will have taken its place. And in our finite attention spans, we are constantly craving something new. But some of the best new things are actually replacements or upgrades of old things. And in that way, many new things are just like the old things. Just think about technology, right? How many new things do we have that are just upgrades or better ways of doing the old things? And my favorite gadget that I've gotten in the last several years is my iPad, by far. Most versatile. It's completely multifunctional, and I'm actually currently on the fourth version of it. I've had a couple of minis and an Air, and now I'm on my fourth iPad. I use this for reading and for visiting websites, watching Netflix, jumping from YouTube video to YouTube video. My kids do that too. And I'm using it, obviously, this morning as well. It's versatile in that way. It keeps my notes for my sermons. It's how I communicate. But this new thing that I have is really just doing the work of the old things. Take reading, for example. I can read Kindle books or PDFs or any number of things here on my iPad, but it's just replacing physical books, tangible books. I still use those, but it's easier to keep a library on my iPad. About surfing the web. Before, I would do that just on my phone or a computer, or before that, when I tried to get knowledge, believe it or not, you just have a dictionary or an encyclopedia. Yeah, exactly. No one knows anymore. Netflix and YouTube, I would just have a computer or a DVD player or a VHS player, Betamax, if you know, you're going that far back. Jim's happy about that one. For sermon notes, you just have regular pieces of paper and a notebook. Dewey Decimal System. All these new things, all these technologies are upgrades for us to strive to do things better and more efficiently and easier. But the very words of Jesus that he speaks here in Revelation allude to these new things that will be coming, making the old things better. He says, "Behold, I make all things new." And for something to be made, something has to be upgraded or changed. There has to be a thing that wasn't there before that now exists. And with things being made, the very act of creation should cause us to rejoice, because not only has God made the planets and the stars and our universe and everything in it that we touch, taste, and see, he has made us. If we go back to Genesis chapter 1, from the very start of things, we see in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Nothing existed And then suddenly, there was light. Everything came into being. It's a reminder that He has made absolutely everything. Colossians 1:16, Paul writes, "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him." And because all things were created through Him and for Him, who has the authority then to make those things and to change those things? He does, right? Christ does. They were made through Him and for Him, and He alone has the authority to change things, and no change takes place without His say-so. And this is the great transformation that takes place within the life of a believer. God in Christ has made you, and only He can remake you and make you new. And because of this reality, we are completely incapable of making the old things new in our lives. Many of us in here, just like with our resolutions, can white-knuckle by sheer will and lose 100 pounds or read 52 books in a year or do any number of things that we set our minds to, but your ability to be consistently disciplined and flawless in your execution of changing your life will eventually run out. You cannot and will not change your life completely without the work of Christ to transform you from death to life, and the work of the Holy Spirit to continually sanctify you to become more and more like Christ. Transformation and renewal has been in the Lord's hands from the very beginning. And after the failure of Adam, we've been found broken in pieces, wounded and dead in our sins, and we must be changed and made new by the very work of Christ Himself. In this foundation, rather, of being made new, Jesus has set before us a new way of life which grows out of His shed blood for us. The old way of life, the only way to be made right with God, was to keep His commandments fully, and they are perfect and holy and just commands from a perfect, holy, and just and righteous God. But the thing is that you and I have broken these commandments time and time again and are completely incapable of keeping them on our own. We can't say with any sense of truth in our hearts and minds that we have kept God's commandments perfectly. Instead, we have continually broken His laws, and there is no hope for salvation for us apart from Christ. So it's this is the very reason that Christ came and died to provide a way of salvation, that by grace through faith in Christ Jesus and not by our own efforts or works, that we can be saved from the sins that have gripped our lives for so long. We are forgiven our sins by the grace of God and made right with Him by faith in Christ. Jesus is coming again to make all things new. And it's only by the work of Christ in your place that you can stand before a just, holy, and righteous God and say that my only hope in life and death is that we are not our own, but belong body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. He hasn't just made us, and He isn't just making us new. We are His forever and ever. And the broken, wretched people that we all know ourselves to be, He doesn't just tolerate us, but when He sees us, He sees Jesus in our place, and He delights in us and sings over us and looks at us like a loving father does with joy. And it's not just because Christ is currently making us new through the renewing of our hearts and minds, but that one day He will make all things new, and that the new things that He will make will change everything. As John writes here in Revelation, he says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Friends, every tear that you've cried and every heartache that you've endured and every pain that you've experienced in your life, every sleepless night that you've had worrying about this thing or that thing, all of those things on that day will become a faded, distant memory. And that day will be so significant that everything after will be completely different. And just as his birth marked a new point in time, his second coming will shatter the fabric of time itself, molding together past, present, and future eternity into one time. But this work of making all things new that Jesus is about has already begun. At the point of our conversion, Jesus begins to make us into a new creation. And if Jesus has not made you new already, in the spirit of it being a new year, I would challenge you to consider maybe why that is. Why haven't you placed your faith in Christ? Why aren't you following him? The day of salvation is today, not when you think it will happen or when you hope it will happen, but it's today. And if you're sitting here this morning and you believe in Christ, but you still believe that you have to be good enough to make him love you and accept you and to earn your way into this new heaven and new earth, there is a similar call for you, and that's to repent and actually believe in the gospel, believe in the effectual work of Christ on your behalf. Wherever you fall in these categories this morning, there's one call for us all in 2022, and that's to stop trying. I know that seems counterintuitive and countercultural to what we've been led to believe about New Year's and New Year's resolutions. You got to try harder and do better. But the challenge is actually to stop trying. Stop trying to be better. You're not that great anyway. I'm not that great anyway. Stop trying to be a better spouse. Sounds a little counter. Stop trying to be a better parent. Stop trying to be a better employee. Stop trying to be a better son or father or daughter or sister or brother. Stop trying and rest in the goodness and grace of Christ. And it's in that that he will actually begin to make us more and more like himself. He'll begin to sanctify us and change us from the inside out. And then you'll find yourself actually becoming a better husband or a better wife or a better parent, better brother, sister, employee. Because you'll be becoming more and more like Christ, not more and more like the terrible person you already are. I'm saying this to myself as well. So many times setting New Year's resolutions, just trying to be a better version of Drew, but Drew is pretty terrible. So in 2022, if we're going to resolve to be anything, we need to resolve to be more and more like Christ. We rest in that and realize, just as Jesus says here in Revelation, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. There is nothing that you can do, nothing that you can earn, no payment to be given for God's love. It's already been given for you. Trust in that. Hope in that, rely on that, rest in that in 2022. Stop trying to be a better version of yourself. Strive to be more and more like Christ. God's in the business of creation, and he's in the business of making all things new. So let's enter this year being made new. Our Lord and Savior. Let's pray.